So today we begin Simchat Tzad Yalef. So Simchat Tzad Yalef is a very short simon in a certain sense, but it's also a doozy. You know, it's complicated. Meaning you have like this monster Ramah over here in Kuf Tzad Yalef, and whenever you have a monster Ramah, it means that there is going to be some confusing elements of the sugya. So what I would like to do, I guess a little bit different than we've been doing, instead of just like briefly mentioning what the Gemara has to say, and you know, and then quickly running to the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, I want to like take a step back and like go to the sugya itself a little more carefully than we normally do, and then I think things fall into place much, much better. Obviously, things always fall into place much, much better when you go through the sugya carefully. So, before we get to the sugya and daf nun tes, which for the guys in Kol Seder, you know, this is even better, right? Because I assume you've hit daf nun tes by this point. So we've discussed ksavim in toilet bowls, because we learned some kuf tzadi. We've discussed ksavim on toilet paper. But before ksavim in toilet bowls and toilet paper becomes relevant, you first have to make sure that it's not nida d'oraisa, because a kesem is a kesem, but if it's a hargasha, then you have a problem. You have to make sure there's no issue of a masked hargasha. So our sugya discusses that issue. And there are multiple factors that come up, three in particular that come up, and where these factors fit in terms of determining the halacha is the entire sugya, basically. The one factor is the woman omedes or yosheves at the time she is urinating? Is she standing or is she sitting? Somehow that's going to make a difference. Omedes is worse, because we assume that if she's in the unnatural position of urinating while omedes, it's natural for a man, unnatural for a woman to urinate while omedes, we assume that that causes the Meira Glayim to be chozer, to go back to the uterus and draw blood from there, and blood comes out of the urine, that blood was taken from the uterus. Doctors aren't really sure what this is talking about, because at most, if a woman really, really has to go, and she's trying to hold herself in, it might go back close to the cervix, but nowhere near the uterus. Doesn't really happen, but that's, it seems to be the assumption that the Gemara has, that if she's on medicine, she really, really has to go, that it could be that the dam is going to come from the uterus, because the urine is going to sneak its way all the way back to the uterus before it comes out. So that's one factor. Another factor is, how did the urine come out? Was it maznakas or shoseses? Was it that it squirted out like with force, or it just was a slow drip? So if it's a drip, it's worse, because that's not normal urination. Urination normally happens, so when someone urinates, it normally happens with some level of force in a young, healthy person. And the third factor is, where exactly did you find the dam? Did you find it on the svas ha-safal or toch ha-safal? Did you find it on the edge of the toilet seat, or did you find it inside the toilet seat? The edge is worse, because then it wasn't really shooting. If it was shooting out, then it would have gone into the toilet. So again, of these three factors, omedes is worse than yosheves, meaning more likely to make her nida than yosheves. Shosasas is worse than being maznakas, because if it's dripping out, then it's not coming out like urine, it's coming out like blood. And al svas ha-safal is worse than toch ha-safal, because the edge is worse, because again, for the same reason as not the shosasas, because you see that it's not really squirting out, it's dripping out more like blood, and that's how it ended up on the edge of the toilet seat. So those are the three factors that we want to keep in mind. And the issues we want to think about are those factors related to each other, right? Are they tali zeh bezeh? And the other important critical element that we have to, that hovers over this entire sugya, is this a sugya in Hilchas Nida Labayla, or is this a sugya in Hilchas Taharos? Meaning, as we know, as we discussed in the very first year of this year, that Nida is both. It has both the sense of Tum and Tahara, and one has to be careful about, in days of the Beis HaMikdash, about Tum and Tahara element of Nida. Nowadays, we no longer are careful about the Tum and Tahara element. What we're most worried about is the Yisur V'Heter element of Nida L'Baila. But those rules aren't always the same. What determines Nida L'Baila and what determines Tum and Tahara are not always going to align with each other. So if the whole sugya is a Tum and Tahara sugya, it may have very little relevance to Nida L'Baila. So that's sort of a question that hovers over the entire sugya as we go through the sugya. So let's go through the sugya as a way of building up toward this Mechaber and the very big Ramah. So the Mishnah in the Testament base tells us as follows. A woman goes to the bathroom and she finds dam, a very common occurrence. That if she's sitting on the toilet like a normal person, she's tahora. If she was omedes, if she was standing, something that's highly unusual for a woman to be doing, then she's going to be tameya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Ben Kach Ben Kach Tahora. Rabbi Yossi says there's no chance that she's tameya. She's tahora no matter what. When she urinates, she's tahora. Just from the Mishnah, if we never went beyond the Mishnah, the impression you would get is that any time a woman finds dam after urinating, in a practical sense, you're in the clear, because what woman urinates standing up? And the only time there's even a machlokas is if she urinates standing up. When she's sitting down, there's no shaila whatsoever. It's automatically going to be tahora. So we have to look a little bit more, because obviously there is a simon here in Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav Meir holds that if she was urinating while standing, she's tamei. Why? So three explanations that the Rishonim offer as to what it is about standing that makes it so much more likely that she's tamei, that she's a nida. So one explanation she is Rashi and the Ran. Rashi and the Ran assume that the reason we assume that when she's standing, the dam must have come in a makar, is because if she's omedes, she would only urinate if she can't hold it in anymore. And since she was so dechuka, so we assume that it went back up and it got some blood, meaning that that no normal woman urinates standing up. If she was urinating standing up, she was trying to run to the bathroom or something, and it was just so dechuk, that she couldn't hold herself in anymore. So it must have been that she really, really had to go, like bal teshak to an extreme degree. Right? There's a discussion in poskim about what the Gemara Makkah says, that a person who was sarach in a kavav and is mashin in a kavav, if a person doesn't go to the bathroom and they have to, is in violation of bal teshak. Right? It's the one Gemara that every third grader knows, right? The teacher doesn't let him go to the bathroom. It's an issue of daraisa. It's bal teshaktu. So most of the time, it's not bal teshaktu. I mean, the post can point out it's only really bal teshaktu if you really have to go. So if the woman gets to the point where it's, you know, bal teshaktu and more, where she really, really, really has to go, so then Rashi says that's where it's very likely that the urine went back up and got some blood from the uterus. It schlepped some blood from the uterus along for the ride. That's Rashi and the Rai. The Rush understands that if urinating when she's standing, if she's urinating when she's standing, the urine can't come out easily, and therefore it goes back up. I mean, a little different than Rashi and the Ran. Rashi and the Ran says because she so desperately needs to go to the bathroom, so that's why it's going to reverse course and go back up. Whereas the Rush understands that it's not that she so desperately needs to go to the bathroom, it's just such an unnatural way to relieve herself that she's positioned in such an unnatural way that the urine doesn't come out easily when she's standing up, meaning the urethra is somewhat closed, so the urine's not going to come out easily, and since the urine's not going to come out easily, so that's why it might go back up and get some dam. Okay, and then there's Shita Satosos, or at least the way many of the Achronim understand Shita Satosos, that normally the urethra and the vaginal canal can't be both open simultaneously. But when she's standing, the urethra isn't fully open, which leaves room for the vaginal canal to remain partially open, and therefore leaves room for blood to come out. Meaning, normally, we assume when a woman urinates that there's not going to be any blood from the makor, because the blood from the makor comes out through the vagina, it doesn't come out through the urethra. So there's not going to be any blood that comes from the makor. But and the assumption is that when one is open, the other is closed. Right? So, but if she's standing, where even the urethra is not fully open, it's only partially open, so then the vaginal canal will also be partially open. So that leaves room, it leaves the possibility that blood can come out through the vaginal canal. That is the way many of the Achronim learn within Shita Satosos, which would mean it has nothing to do with the urine going back up, right? According to the Shita Satosos, it's not about the urine going back up and chopping some dam from the makar. It's regular dam in a makar coming out through its normal channels. It's just that that channel is left open when she's standing up, as opposed to when she's sitting down, where that possibility is closed off. So that is those are the three basic shitos in Rishonim. Now the Gemara Daf Yedalim base has a machlokas amaran. If Rav Meir holds, she is tamei bevadai because it definitely came from the makar, and we have to assume hargasha because hargasha is meiraglayim, or meaning it would be a masked hargasha, Or maybe it's only tummy misafik, like a kesem, because maybe the blood is really from the bladder. Maybe it's a UTI, urinary tract infection, and that has nothing to do with the makar, and that's where the blood is coming from. So the Gemara itself has a machlokas amarayim, what Rameir means over here. So again, Rav Yossi says, ben kach ben kach tover. Rav Meir says, if she's omedes, she's tamei. And even with Rav Meir of if she's omedes, she's tamei, the Gemara has a machlokas amarayim. Tamei vadai or tamei safek? Tamei mishum kesem? Or like a safek kesem? Or tamei as a vadai nida? So it seems very, very limited in terms of the tzdadim to be machmir. Right? And we had three basic shittos as to how it could be that while she's urinating, dam is going to come in a makar. Two of them suggested that the urine will go back up when she's omedes, and one of them suggests that it's just leaving room for the dam to come in a makar through its normal channels. That's Rav Meir shita. Now Rav Yossi says she's tahora, because apparently we're not concerned that the dam came from the makar. Tosos and Daf Yudalaram Beis Dibra Maskel Rebbe has a machlokas whether Rabbi Yossi is metaher, is he metar legamri? Tosos himself suggests metar legamri, and that's also the sheet of the Rambam in Yisurubia Parakei Halacha Yud Zayin metar legamri, which is the pashut reading of the Mishnah, or maybe no, that she's not tamei b'tumas vadei, that it's only tumas safek. Meaning, if you're going to assume that when Rabbi Meir is metame betumas vadai, then maybe when Rabbi Yossi is metaher, Rabbi Yossi only means tahar mitumas vadai, but you still have tumas safek. Ooh, so now we have the first possibility that the word tahar may not mean tahar. Meaning we thought you read the Mishnah like everything's great, you know, no woman urinates standing up, and when you're sitting it's no problem, and even when you're standing it's probably not a problem. But now we have like a little bit of something that there's some machlokas rishonim whether tahar really means tahar over here, where some of the rishonim understand that tahar means that it's completely tahar, or that she's just not tamei b'tumas vadei, only b'tumas safek, assuming that Rav Meir is metame legamri b'tumas vadei, which is and that's the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. So Rabbeinu Chananel's sheet is the one that opens the door for the possibility that even Rabbi Yossi, who's metaher, may not really be metaher. Now the Aruch Lanar points out that it's very mistaver that when Rabbi Yossi is metaher, he's metame legamri, because L'chora, by Yosheves, there's no doubt that he's Matar Legamri. The whole question is about Omedes. And Rabbi Yossi's Lashon is, Beinkach u'beinkach tahora. So says the Aruch Lener, Beinkach u'beinkach tahora doesn't sound like it means, Beinkach would be tahora mitumas vadai, u'beinkach tahora legamri. It can't mean two different things. So if Bein Yosheves, Bein Omedes, she's going to say tahora, probably means tahora legamri.
Don't we say, according to Shitat, Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara Ma'oz Dei Mahani Milu Dei Avad Malachetkila Lo Kamash Lo Ami Taka conclude that it's
okay. We'll get there. Slow. So the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by the Shach in the name of the Yerushalmi. It's the Yerushalmi that's quoted in the Shach and Kuf Tzad Yalav Gimel over here. Quotes this sheet of Rabbeinu. It's a long Shach, but he quotes this sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. However, the Chasam Sofer in the Chuvin Yerodeus in the Kuf Memches, Divra Maskul Va'amnam, says that it's Ta'u Sofer in the Yerushalmi, and Eima Hochiach from the Yerushalmi, and the Chazanish in Yerodeus in the Sadi Sivkot and Gimel shows that it's Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, and therefore even if the Yerushalmi says it, the Bavli doesn't agree, we pass on it to Bavli. Even though the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel is that when Rabbi Yossi says Tahar, if she's Omedes, he doesn't really mean Tahar, he just means Tamei Misafek, that Shita is a Shita of Yerushalmi that either doesn't exist according to the Chasam Sofer, it's a mistake, it's a total Sofer, and Yerushalmi never said it, or is outvoted, like the Chazanish says, Machlok is Babli Yerushalmi, we always passing the Babli and the Yerushalmi. So, we, what did the Rabbeinu Chananel really mean to say? Even that's Machlokas. That goes by Monios in Surah Bia Perkei Halacha Beis. It says Rabbeinu Chananel tir mishum nida b'timei mishum kesem. The Rabbeinu Chananel meant to say is that when Rabbi Yossi says that if she's on medes she's tahar, it means she's not a nida vade. She's she's not a nida midaraisa. That it's only but it's a kesem. In Chuvas Haran, Simon Memtes quotes Maram Rutenberg that what it means is that the tarus that the woman touched are tahar, but she herself is tamei on asura labayla. So the Ran quotes such a sheet from Maram Rutenberg that when Rabbi Yossi is mitaher in Omedes, it means she's totally asura labayla. It means mitaher in terms of tumah v'tahara. Even though Ran rejects that as divrei nevius, he says mechitesi. You know, Rabbi Yossi doesn't give any indication that that's what he means to say. So he says it's divrei nevius. What Maram Rutenberg is saying, divrei nevius is usually in poskim not used as a compliment, right? Meaning it's a way of saying, you know, I think the Chavos Yair in that tshuva where he tries to show how every time the Rishonim insult each other, that they're really complimenting each other. Or every time in Chazal, you're kinayim v'shach of Amar Rav La'ashmaiti, he must have been sleeping. So the Chavos Yair has that tshuva where he says, no, what he means is that since one can only have nevuah, unless you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you can only have nevuah while you're sleeping, so it must be that he was on a very lofty holy madrega when he said this, and that's what... That's what it means, right? Meaning, pasuk says that it's not a compliment. But anyway, Beis Yosef over here in Dibur Masmul Samach supports this sheet of Nar Muttenberg and says that Yesh La Hachmir be Isra Labayla Mishum Shuzer Kares Yosef Mitum Taru Shem Bem Kares. There are going to be more Machmir by Isra Labayla than we will by Kares. So again, you have Rabbi Yossi seems to be Metar Legamri. However, Rabbi Nachanana learns Rabbi Yossi is not really Metar Legamri. Is there some sort of tumah involved over here? What exactly does Rabbi Chananel mean by that? So either he means tamei mishum kasem, or he means mamish tamei lebayla. When he was metayr, he meant metayr for the sake of taharos. Now it's true that the shach says that the shach backs up the Rabbi Chananel with the Yerushalmi. However, the Chassam Sofer says Yerushalmi doesn't exist. And the Chazon Ish says that it does exist, but the Bavli outvotes the Yerushalmi anyway. But the Beis Yosef takes it seriously. And he seems to support this view and say that you need to be Machmir. The Shach and Sivkat and Gimel and the Sidrei Tara all reject that that chiluk, though, between Taharos, Tumatara, and Isha Labayla. So the Mordechai in Masech HaShavuos, Ostav Shalom and Hay, quotes Maram Rutenberg, the Shach agrees with this, with what Mordechai says, that there's no distinction between Taurus and Bala. There's a distinction between Lechatchila and B'diavad. She's only Taurus B'diavad, but Lechatchila, she's not allowed to be with her husband. Meaning, we know that, according to Rabbi Chananel, Tahar doesn't mean Tahar. It means something. It means some sort of compromise between Tahar and Tameh. What compromise, though? So what we suggested before from the Maram Rutenberg, that the Shuvah Ran quote from Maram Rutenberg, is that Tameh l'gabi baila, Tahar l'gabi taros. So says the Mordechai Masech HaShavuos, and the Shach is masking, no, we're not going to be mechalik between taros and baila. The chilik is between the chachil and b'diavad. She's only Tahor b'diavad, but the chachilah, she's not allowed to be with her husband. What does it mean, Tahor b'diavad? She's not allowed to be with her husband anyway. So, nafkamina for tshuva? Right? If she was with her husband? Maybe nafkamina for bracha? I don't know. The Sidrei Tara, Dibur Maskel V'ayein, says that it makes no sense to talk about b'diavad l'bayla. Right? I mean, he says, what does it mean? You think, b'diavad, again, nafkamina for tshuva? So he says, we accept the distinction between the chachil and b'diavad, but that's only for taros. She remains asura l'bayla. Meaning, if we're going to be machmir l'bayla, then you're machmir l'bayla. There's no such thing as a b'diavad l'bayla. So by tumentara, there's a question of b'diavad. Don't touch the tohar stuff. Don't touch the truma. Oh, you did already? It's okay. B'diavad, we could still eat it or whatever. Right? That makes sense. You can have it for taras, you can have it for b'diavad l'chachila. That says it's a b'diavad, it doesn't make sense to gabi b'ayla. So again, just to keep track of what's going on over here. Rabbi Yossi seems to be completely makel. However, we then pointed out that Rabbi Nachman says, I'm not so sure Rabbi Yossi is completely makel. There's some wiggle room over here. There's something that Rabbi Yossi is telling us that's not completely makel. Many Rishonim disagree with Rabbi Nachman. They say, no, Rabbi Yossi is completely makel. But Rabbi Nachman is convinced, and you have to realize, in the world of Rishonim, you know, we in yeshivas, you know, the way we learn typically is we pay a lot of attention to Rashi and to Tosos and to the Rush and to the Rambam and to the Rashba. So we get the impression that those are the only important Rishonim. Yeah, Rabbeinu Chananel's tiny letters sometimes on the side of a page, you know, every once in a while. So, you know, Rabbi Yochanan among the Rishonim was like was a very, very big deal. You know, he's one of those Rishonim that other Rishonim say called Dvar Divrei Kabbalah. You know, they say about Rabbi Yochanan, they think like Rabbi Yochanan was a very, very influential Rishon. So he's not one who is dismissed easily. Sometimes we don't. Certain Sfarim become popular and others don't. That we lose sight of how they were viewed historically. When we were learning Yerodea, I mentioned that Rabbi Reisman said that there was a machlok between the base mayor and somebody else about something, and he said he asked Rav Pan. He said, "So I assume so most postmen don't say like the base mayor, so we don't need to be machlok of the base mayor." So Rav Pan said, "Well, he's the base mayor. Like, how could you dismiss the base mayor? Like, it's just the base mayor, you know?" He's like, no, it's like you have to have an appreciation historically how he was viewed by the other Rishonim. So anyway, so this is the discussion within. Within the Rabbeinu Chanan now. Question? Yeah.
I mean, it can be after the Yemen for Israel by law, also, no?
Yeah.
No. Karbanos,
yeah, but Bizman Azeh, it'll be no Nafkamina. Again, Tshuva would be the Nafkamina, right? It's the same Nafkamina as Karbanos, right? The question is, if you're going to say that it's only mitamei mishum kesed, right? That's the chiluk. That it's not really tamei; it's tamei mishum kesed. Isn't urine considered not to be mekabel tumah? So how can it be mitamei mishum kesed? One of the exceptions to ksamin is that something is not davshin mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel ksamin. So Sidrei Torah, we already saw him. Kuf Tzadiel Tzadi Gimel deals with this, and he says, "What are you talking about? Meir Glayim is a mashke. Mashke is mekabel tumah." Okay, this is Meirabim is one of the mashkos and a makabel tuma. Or he says the toilet itself is a makabel tuma, and if the dam is tame, it would be metame the toilet. So it's, you know, we saw right the toilet is holding the water, which is holding the dam. Maybe you have that chumrah, right? So some we have to work out some way that this is a discussion. Now let's the Rashba on the Gemara explains the machlokas tanaim as follows. The machlokas Rabbi Rabbi Yossi as follows. The Rabbi Yossi holds that since the dam happened while urinating, so it's a chazaka that it came with the urine and not from the makar. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, bein kach she's tahora. Whereas Rabbi Meir is not so mech on that chazaka, so he's metame as long as it's possible that it came from the makar. That he's uneasy about being somech on the chazaka. When it's a vadai, she's your sheves, and there's nowhere else that it could have come from, so fine. But when she's omedes, where there's a possibility that it came from the makar, Rabbi Meir holds that it came from the makar. So they're arguing about whether we rely on a chazaka that came in the urine and not from the makar. Now, the Gemara spends a lot of time discussing Shitas Rabbi Meir. Right, the Gemara works within Shitas Rav Meir, and how we pass over here is going to be very critical. Right, whether we pass in Shitas Rav Meir that Omedes is an automatic tamei, or Omedes gets you involved in the whole machlokas about what Rabbi Yossi meant by Metayer, Rabbi Nuchanan versus the Rambam. Right, so the Gemara spends a lot of time on Rav Meir. Maishna Omedes Tamir and Meir Raglayim Hadul Makar Vaisidam Yoshevus Nami Nei Raglayim Hadul Makar Vaisidam. The Gemara asks, why would you only assume that the urine goes back to the uterus and brings back dam when she's Omedes? You should assume the same thing when she's Yoshevus as well, that the urine goes back to the uterus. So Amar Shmuel B'Mezenekes. Oh, so now Shmuel introduces factor two. Remember, we said that there are three factors in here. There's Omedes Yosheves, there's Mezenekes or Shosases, and there is Alsasa Safal and Betocha Safal. So far we've only had one. We've only had Omedes Yosheves. Comes along Shmuel B'Mezenekes. The Rameir is only Metar Yosheves when it comes out with force like normal. But if it drips, then it's an indication that she's been holding it back. And while doing so, while holding it back, it must have gone back, the urine might have gone back to the makar and brought some blood with it. When she's standing, it's never going to come out with force. So we're always concerned that it went back to the makar and brought some dam with it. But when she's sitting and it didn't come out with force, then you have to assume it must have gone back to the makar. So Rashi and Zainam Beis, Dibra Maskel Medes, explains that since it's unnatural for a woman to urinate while standing, she must have been unable to hold herself in anymore, right? That's what we discussed before. She does Rashi exactly what happened and what she's omedes. But, ooh, so here's the first time we're seeing a possibility that even Yosheves is tamei, right? In the Mishnah, Yosheves is for sure tahora. And not only that, the Orach Lener used the raya, used as a raya, ben kach tahora, that since Yosheves is tahora legamri, Omedes must also mean in Rabbi Yossi's view tahora legamri. Like that was a given, that Yosheves is for sure tahora, that there's no wiggle room on Yosheves, that Yosheves got to be tahora. But now the Gemara says that it's not that, that Rav Meir is only mitari Yosheves if it comes out with force. But if it drips a little, then Rav Meir is going to be mitame Yosheves. So Tosus asks, so again, and Rashi explains that Biomedes is such an unnatural way to urinate that you assume the dam must have gone back to the mucker. Tosus in Dibra Masali Isha asks on Rashi, why would you distinguish between Omedes and Yosheves? That's not really the distinction. Just distinguish within Yosheves, because the real issue is does it come out forcefully or not. You're just saying that Biomedes, it can never come out forcefully because it's an unnatural way to urinate. But the real issue is Maznakas or Shasasas. That's really the issue. So Tosfos answers that the Tana wanted to say Omedes, where there's no room to distinguish. He wants to say a Dabar Katzuv, he wants to say something that's a Dabar Chatuch, where there's no Chilukim. So one thing you know for sure, that she's Omedes. It didn't come out with force, and it was obviously, she was trying to hold herself in, and it's totally unnatural, and therefore you assume Tameh. Within Yosheves, we're not going to talk about it, because there are Chilukim to be made, but there's no Chiluk to be made within Omedes. Tosfos assumes that Maznakas is possible even when Omedes. Ooh, different than Rashi. Rashi learned the Gemara that Amar Shmuel b'Maznakas means that if she's sitting down and it shoots out with force, then you assume that she's Tahora. But if it drips out when she's sitting down, then she's going to be Tameya. And the reason when she's Omedes that she's always going to be Tameya is because it's always Shosasas, it's never Maznakas when she's standing up. Tosa says, no, it's possible that even when she's Omedes, that even when she's standing up, it's going to come out with force. The Gemara's question was, that if we're machmir by omedes umiznakas, which is a chadol l'rayasa, meaning there are two factors, and they're independent of each other. Rashi assumes that they're very connected to each other. Omedes means shosesas, whereas Tosas learns, no, these are separate factors. So when you have only chadol l'rayasa, she's standing, which is an indicator on the negative side of the scale, that's why I started the whole shiur by saying, keep these three factors in mind, and keep in mind which is on the bad side, which is on the good side. So Omedes is a negative factor, something that's working against her. But it's Maznakas, which is working in her favor. And we're going to be machmir on that. So we should also be machmir when she's Yosheves and Shosasas. Because Yosheves works in her favor, but Shosasas works against her, because it's only dripping. So it's also Chadol Reyesa. Meaning Tos says that there are two factors, they both carry even weight, and therefore you see from the Mishnah that Chadol L'Reyusa is going to be problematic L'Shitas Rabbi Yossi, L'Shitas Rabbi Meir, Chadol L'Reyusa is going to be problematic, so Chadol L'Reyusa could happen when you're Yosheves as well. That's the Gemara's Kasha. And the Gemara's answer is that the whole entire Mishnah is about Maznakas. And in order to be Tahor, you need Tarti L'Tivusa. You need Yosheves and Maznakas. That the Mishnah said Yosheves is Torah. You know why the Mishnah said Yosheves is Torah? Because the Mishnah was assuming that it's coming out with force. But if you have a Chadol L'Reyusa, well, you have either that she's Omedes or that she's Shosasas, then it's going to be Tameh. If that's the case, then we never see Rabbi Yossi being Metaher Omedes or Shosasas. Right? Rabbi Yossi, Ben Kach Metaher, he was only assuming because of Maznakas, but if she's Shosesas, she's going to be Tameh. Because Rabbi Meir never, meaning when there's Tarti L'Reyusa, Rabbi Yossi was never retired. Rabbi Yossi was retired, Ben Kach, because there was never Tarti L'Reyusa. The whole Mishnah was working with Maznakas, which is a Tivusa. It's a positive on that side of the scale. So we don't have Rabbi Yossi being Metaher when you have Tarti L'Reyusa, if you learn like Tosos. Rav Meir never discussed Shosasa, so we know that Rabbi Yossi, we don't know what Rabbi Yossi argues on exactly. So meaning we don't know that Rabbi Yossi argues on Rav Meir about Tarti L'Reyusa. So it seemed that Rabbi Yossi is Mitar in the case that Rav Meir is Mitame. So he would hold that either Yosheves or Maznakas is good enough. So it would turn out that the way Tosfos is learning, the Gemara's answer within Rabbi Meir is, in order to be Tar, you need Tarti L'Tivusa. And within Rabbi Yossi, in order to be Tar, you need Chadol L'Tivusa. You need just one of the factors to work in your favor. Right? This is learning the Gemara and Rishon. Simple Gemara and Rishon. Then the Gemara is a follow-up. Then the Gemara says, Viznakas nami dilma basu ditamu maya asadan. why are you comforted by the fact that it shoots out, that it squirts out with force? Maybe it initially squirted out with force, that was the urine, and then when she finished urinating, dump started dripping out. So even if she sat and urine came out forcefully, it could be that after she finished urinating, the blood came from the makar. So she might be tvei anyway. So how do Rashi and Tosos each learn that line of Gemara? So Tosos explains within Rashi that we can't be assuming the dam comes from the makar at the very moment of Meir Glayim, because blood won't come from the makar at the moment of Meir Glayim. Shemachmas hazinuk nista mamayin shaldam. Remember, the way Rashi learned is that if she's able to urinate forcefully, then the makar is closed, then the vaginal opening is closed. So there's not going to be any dam that comes out. Whereas Tosus disagrees with Rashi's understanding of the question. Tosus assumes that the Gemara is asking that after pasa kiluach meiragleha, there's some more urine that drips, and we should be choshesh that the last few drops of urine return to the makar. Yoruch Leonard points out the Lashon of the Gemara sounds a lot more like Rashi, because it says basar detamu maya. So he says mashma achar shetamu meiragleha legami. Tamu means finished. So when the Gemara says basar detamu maya, it doesn't mean basar detamu the initial spurt. It means basar detamu maya, the meir life is over. He says, the Aruch Nar points out the Pirush HaTosos say the Gemara lomar basar detam zinuk maya. It should have said that after the spurt of meir life came out. Okay, be that as it may, that's the Machlokes Rashi Tosos. So again, where are we in the Gemara? The Gemara just asks the kasha. The Gemara says, how do you know, why does the fact that it's Meznakas make you feel better about it, to make you think that she's Tahora, and maybe after she was Meznakas, some dam came out? So the Gemara answers, Am Rabbi Abba B'Yoshevas al Sfas HaSafal. Ooh. The Gemara introduces factor number 3, right? B'Yoshevas al Sfas HaSafal, Umaznakas B'Tocha HaSafal, V'Nintza Dam B'Tocha HaSafal. D'Yemisa D'Vasa Tamaya Asa al Sfas HaSafal by Lishta Kuchet. She's sitting, she's positioning her body on the edge of the toilet seat, which would mean that unless it's coming out with force, it would just drip right onto the edge of the toilet seat. But that's not where it went. It went all the way in. And if it went all the way in, then it must have been coming out with force. And therefore, you see, there's no concern that it just started dripping out. So when Reb Meir was metaher, a woman who was sitting, it was a case where she sat on the edge of the seat, urinating a stream into the bowl, and the blood was found in the bowl. Had it only come at the end with the drips, then it would have been found on the edge of the seat. Okay, great. So now we have that whole sugya was trying to figure out Shitas Rabbi Meir. Right? The whole Masa Umatan was within Shitas Rabbi Meir. After all that discussion about Shitas Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Lam Rabbi Yom Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Right? After the whole back and forth with Rabbi Meir, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. The Cheder of the Rabbi Abba Lekala, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. So we paskin whether Yosheves or Medes, she's Tahora. Then the Gemara later quotes a brisa that brings a third shita, not Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon over Benkach Benkach, Ein Natola. Whether she's standing or sitting, you can't assume it's Dam Maka, and we assume it's Mina Maka or Tmei. That one didn't make it into the Mishnah. The Tosefta says, and this Tosefta is quoted by Yeshuvas HaRashba, that Dama Yosef Al Rei Tahar, Al Rei is Tahar. And there's dam that comes on if she defecates, that's tahar, and that's quoted by the Rashba, because if she keeps dam, if she sees dam besafo shel trachim ketanim ugedolim, she's tahora because svek sveka safek bami makum gedolim. It may have come from the anus and not from the vaginal side of things. Safek bami makum eraglayim, safek bami namakar. Right, and even if it came from the Makar Meir Glayim, it may not have come from the Makar. In fact, the Marachar Zura wonders why you need the Tosefta, so we pass on the Rabbi Yossi anyway, that even Dam Bim Meir Glayim is Tahar. Good, so that ends the Sugya of the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us there aren't two Shitas, there are three Shitas, but be that as it may, it doesn't seem we hold like the third Shita for sure. The Gemara seems to come to a clear conclusion that we pass on Lekula, but we already saw along the way that Lekula may not be as Lekula as we think. Because Lekula may only be, the entire Mishnah may have only been talking about a woman who is Maznakas, and it could be that if she shoses as there's room to be Machmir. And the Gemara added in that additional factor that Maznakas only, that you can only assume Maznakas if she was sitting at the edge of the Safal that went inside. but if she was sitting at the edge and it stayed on the edge, or she was sitting in the middle and it went in the middle, then you can't assume it's not, because maybe you have to do some shosessas, and then it's going to mess up everything again. So while you read the Mishnah, it sounds like, oh, this is going to be an easy one. It turns out that's not quite as easy. So that's why we have a difficult Mechaber and Ramah over here, because it's a complicated sugya. So again, from the simple reading of the Gemara, it sounds like we pass on Rabbi Yossi. So any blood and urine, Mechaber, she should be Tahar. But there are a whole bunch of points of limitation over here that will pull us back a little bit. Beis Yosef explained the Shita Sarach, that the entire discussion is only about Taharos. So that's a huge point of limitation. Right? If you assume like Ravina Chananel, that we started with, the whole conversation is only about Taharos, which is through the Baila. Beis Yosef quotes that Shita and has Rayas to it. He says, the Gemara asks, why do we need to be told Rav Yossi's Metar B'Sfek Sveika if he's even Metar B'Safek Echad? The Gemara answers, we would have thought that Rabbi Yossi Metar is only B'Dieved, after she was ready Yosef Metaros, but not L'Chadchila, to allow her to be Yosef Metaros. So it has to tell me that he's Metar L'Gamri even L'Chadchila. But it says Beis Yosef, L'Chadchila B'Dieved only makes sense in the world of Taros, doesn't make sense in the world of Baila. And therefore that's an indication that the whole sugya is only about Taros, not L'Baila. Beis Yosef points out, well, wait a second. So the whole sugya is about Taharos, and Rabbi Yosef's makel by Taharos, but we're going to be more machmir by Baila than Taharos. Normally, we're more machmir by Taharos than we are by Baila. Like, for example, when it comes to bedikos, right? Most of the Rishonim hold, how many bedikos does a woman have to do each day during Shavuot Nikiyim? So in Shulchan Aruch, we say two a day, but most of the Rishonim, most of the mainstream Rishonim hold, that the only reason we do two, that the only reason they had to do two bedikos a day was for Taharos. They had to know what was Torah, what was Tameh, so they had to constantly be checking, making sure. But when it comes to Nidah L'Baila, for Sfir Shivanakiyim, you only need one Bedika a day. So it sounds like we're more Machmir on Taros than we are in Baila. Over here, we're going to be more Machmir on Baila than we are in Taros. So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, by Bedikos, we're more Machmir on Taros, because you have to make sure there's no Tumah L'Mafreya, which is only no Gea to Taros. But B'inyan Zeh, Yesh L'Achmir L'Baila, Davi Yisr Karis Yosef, L'Taros, Lasbu Yisr Karis. No, but as far as the Chomer, Isser, dealing with the level of Isser, the level of Isser, the Baila is off the charts, it's an Isser Kares. The level of Isser, the Taharos, is not an Isser Kares. So it makes sense that it will be more Machmir for Taharos. So Beis Yosef says, I'm a Rabbi Yochananel man. I think you have to be choshish that Rabbi Yossi is Mitame when it comes to Baila. Further Raya, the Beis Yosef has, that the Gemara in Daf Yudalit discusses Badka Be'ed She'eno Baduk. She checked with a with a cloth that hasn't been pre-checked for previous stains. Vini chasu b'kufsin, she puts it in a box somewhere. L'machar matzal avda. So Rebbe mitami mishum nidav, Rebbe chia mitami mishum kesa. So there is also machlok shamei Rebbe Yossi about the same inyan, and the Gemara says that Rebbe Yossi is l'shitaso because he's mitari here too. So if Rebbe Meir is mitami tumav adais, and Rebbe Yossi is mitari legamri, then the two shitos are really, really far off from each other, and that's very unusual for two shitos to be min akatsa al akatsa, says Beis Yosef. Furthermore, Rabbi Chia, who's mitami mishum kesev over there, would probably be mitami mishum kesev over here too, and we never find any mention of a third shita. So it sounds like even within Rabbi Yossi, who's mitayer, he's still going to be mitami mishum kesev. So if that's true, that even if we pass like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is leaving open a possibility for Tumah over here, because it's about Labaila, so then we're going to need to figure out how to navigate that. So again, Rabbeinu Chananel is the most chamur within Shitas Rabbi Yossi, that she's Tameh Mishum Kesem. The Ran claims Rabbeinu Chananel never said it, but Beis Yosef points out that the Magen Mishnah and the Rashba quote this Rabbeinu Chananel. Post Gemara sure if he would say this even when Yoshevis al Tzfasa Safal Makalechas Latocha Safal Venim Tzadam Betocha Safal, where everything points to it being part of the urine, but at least Rabbeinu Chananel is the biggest Tzad Lahachmir. And then Bez Hashem on Wednesday we'll see there are four other Shitas Rishonim, Mahalchim Rishonim, how what it means to Pasuk Rabbi Yossi, and then we'll read the Shulchan Aruch and the Nesekim, and then we'll. If you chazar on the sugi well, then when you read the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, it flows a little bit better. Okay. a great day, a great Shabbos. Chesiv chesiv tov to everyone.
Shir will be in person.
Bezer Hashem. Yes.